I had a couple more reading assignments. Let's see. John, you or Janet, whichever wants to do that, but I want the reading. I'll call you. And Glenn, I got one for you, and I'll call you. I'll give you plenty of time to look it up. Okay. Well, I'll say hello again and welcome. I'm glad to be back home. This is where I felt like where I was coming on my way this morning was I'm going home again. And boy, it's sure good to be home, I'll tell you. And great to see you all, be able to see you again, which is, as you know, a modern medical miracle. That's what they performed on me. And so let's get into, I could talk a lot about that, but we're here to study the Bible. So let's get into that, okay? The lesson class title today is Bible Truths by Three. Bible Truths by Three. Now, some of us are old enough, we remember the Three Stooges and the Three Musketeers, maybe. We're old enough to remember that. In case you weren't born back in those days, like us seasoned citizens, how about if you follow sports, you know, we're right in the middle of the baseball season, three strikes and you're out, three outs, half inning, and such thing as a triple play. So if you don't follow that, you follow basketball, you know about the three-pointer, the three-point line. You know someone who dribbles up for a layup, makes it and gets fouled, can make that a three-point play. And my, oh my, how many football games have we seen and won or lost in the last 1 or 2 seconds with that field goal? In case you're not familiar with any of that, and I know a lot of you ladies probably over your lifetime have known a friend or relative who's had triplets. So that does happen. And we had that in the wildlife. Jack and I have had the occasion to see triplet black bear. As a matter of fact, I've got a photograph in the truck of the three cubs playing and rolling in Stephanie's sheets. I had to pull them off the clothesline, and they were having a good time under the clothesline. But we also have had triplet fawn deer, triplet fawns numerous years over the last 20-some years. So, bluegrass music, you familiar with that? How about the fiddle, the banjo, and the mandolin in bluegrass? Or there may be a brass band consisting of a trumpet, a saxophone, and a trombone. If your household is like ours, a lot of times the problems come in threes. One thing breaks, another thing breaks. Jackie said there's going to be one more. I don't know what it's going to be, but something else. So it just seems like it's that way. Now, years ago, this is not politically correct, but I'm going to tell you just like it is. Years ago, preacher students, when they got out, you know, for the first semester, they've been in school studying the Bible for half a year, and they get to go home and preach, or somewhere to preach. And, you know, the tendency was to preach everything they learned. You know, of course, they were excited, and that's good. And they were, you know, they were just so happy about this thing, and so we're happy with them. But it got to be a little bit of a problem because the professors at the preacher school said, well, we need to address this just, and not exactly sure, but you could imagine 50 years ago, they said, well, now look, you preacher students, you're doing fine. You've been home now, but we want to give you a three-point rule. All right, and the rule is this. We want you to stand up because you're bashful. Right? Your knees are knocking. And standing up in front of an audience, and we want you to stand up, and we want you to speak up. You know, speak nice and loud so people can hear you, right? And then we want you to shut up. So that was the three. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. That was actually what happened in one of the preacher schools. Now let's go with threes. What I'm doing now is to try to get you thinking threes with me. And here we go. How about sowing and reaping? We always reap what you sow. As Mark and John, and all you gardeners know, you have to have three things to get that crop. Three things to get those tomatoes or those green beans. You've got to have three things. Assuming the temperature's right. You've got to have the sun. You've got to have nutrients. And you've got to have water, right? You've got to have those three. Now, how about a spiritual application? I'm going to read, let's all turn to James, if you can now. James 1 and verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I've got some reading assignments, and Stephanie's got two. She's going to read one, and it'll be a little bit of a pause. I'm going to have you pause, Stephanie. We'll read the first one, and the first reading is about sowing spiritually, what happens spiritually when you sow. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5. Steph, you read that.
And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child.
Sowing, right? That's a sowing. Now, Stephanie, I want you to read the reaping, which is 2 Samuel 12 and verse 10. Okay. You always sow what you reap, and you reap always more than you sow. You son, and you're farming and gardening, you're expecting to get a whole lot more yield. And this drought doesn't help, but if you got something you can water, a garden or whatever, you're expecting to reap a whole lot more than you sow. Now, spiritually, we got the same situation. Now, Jackie was going to read this, but Stephanie's substituting about reaping more than you sow. Hosea 8:7, Steph. And the rest of you turn to Matthew 25:21, because that's going to be the next one she reads. Hosea 8:7, you're probably familiar with that one.
For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind.
All right. Go ahead.
It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no needle. If so be it yield, the stalk shall be cut off, the strangers shall swallow it up.
Okay. So we sow to the wind. Hosea says you will reap the whirlwind. You're going to reap a lot more than you sow. Now, one that you and I look forward to. Okay, and on that same subject, Stephanie, read Matthew 25:21. Yeah, that's what we want to reap, isn't it? That's what we want to reap. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Now, let's go to another three. So today, you know, you're always going to have the right answer if I ask you a question, because the answer is going to be three every time. Okay. Now, Janet's going to read. Janet S. We got a Janet S. And another Janet. But Janet S. is going to read Daniel 1 and verse 6 about David mentions three specific friends. He probably had other friends, but in Daniel, as you know, it's recorded that he had these three close friends. And go ahead and read now, Janet, the Jewish names. My hair's not all that good. Did you read 7? Verse 7, you got the three. Okay, so you're seeing the three in the Jewish name and three in the Chaldean name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it's three. All right, let's go to another three. The Holy Spirit, go back to the New Testament now. The Holy Spirit launched how many on the first missionary journey? Of course, the answer is three. All right, now, my question to you, who were those three? That was Saul of Tarsus. This is Acts 13:4, 13:5. Saul of Tarsus and Barnabas. All right. Then we got to go to the fifth verse of that 13:5 to find out John Mark, the Barnabas' cousin, was with them also. So that was a threesome. Now, let me ask you another thing about Saul. What three titles or what three names? And I studied this at length. And he was first born as Saul of Tarsus. Okay. Then, Acts 9, in Damascus, Acts 9:18, the last word is baptized. Then he became known as Saul the Apostle. Right? Right. Then we go to Acts 13, in the latter part of the chapter 13, while they're on the Isle of Cyprus, he also then picks up the name Paul the Apostle. Okay, that's the three. Keep that in mind as you study through his name changing, and it's important to recognize a good name. Now, how was the number three involved in Saul's conversion? Remember, I just mentioned he went to Damascus. We know about that. He was on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus to get Christians and tie them up and bring them back to Jerusalem. And he's on his way, and the Lord speaks to him. He goes down to the ground, and he's blinded. And he goes into Damascus and does what for 3 days? He didn't eat or drink. Right? He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. And then Ananias came and he was baptized. All right, now, how many beings, watch out, this might catch you. I had to try to word this the right way. How many beings were involved in the first sin? We're back in the Old Testament. What were they? All right, Adam and the serpent. I started to say animal, but see, there's all kinds of animals there, but the serpent was the one involved in the sin. All right, thank you, Steph, that's right. All right. Now, what three sources of sin did the devil use on Eve? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Sharon, you're exactly right. Now let's turn to Genesis, if you would, and we can see these in Genesis, in the third chapter, if you turn to Genesis 3. Okay. Now let's look at how, in Genesis, if you're at Genesis 3, look at verse 4. Let's look at how he used flesh. He said what? Not surely die, right? Okay, now that's how he used lust of the flesh. Now how did he use lust of the eye? In verse 6, chapter 3, 6. He said it was good for food, right? Look, you look at that apple or whatever it was, that looks good. All right, lust of the eye. Now, how did he use pride of life? Look at verse 5. You shall be as gods, right? Okay. Now, if you are taking notes, I've got three other verses, but for the sake of time, I'll just mention them. These are all in 1 John 2:16, and then after we see those, flesh, eye, pride, we go to 1 Corinthians 9:11 for flesh, 1 Corinthians 9:11, for eye, Matthew 5:28, and for pride, Proverbs 16:18. Now, let's go to the Godhead. All right. How many in the Godhead? All right. What are the names? What are the personalities? Okay. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, do you know? Well, let me ask you. How many times in the Bible can you find these three mentioned? You find these three mentioned three times. Now, you might ask Eddie, maybe he knows the fourth one, but I can only find three. So let's look at them. The three are mentioned three times. The Father is mentioned together, rather. Mark, let me have someone read Mark 1, 9 through 11. While you're looking that up, Stephanie, you look up Matthew 28:19, and Sister Hancock, would you look up 2 Corinthians 13:14? All right, whoever's got Mark 1:9-11. Anybody got that? Mark 1:9-11.
It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
All right, we got all three, right? All right, now what's the next one? Matthew 28:19. All three, right? Okay, there's one more. Sister Hancock. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14. All right, now, so we have three. One other thing I want to mention. There's another three. Now, how many times is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, how many times are they referenced as God? All right, let's look at them. All right. Our Father in heaven is called God. In John 6:27, Mark, look that up for me. John 6:27, and Sister Janet Spencer, Sister Hancock, Janet Hancock, could you look up Hebrews 1:8, please? Hebrews 1:8. And Nancy, could you look up Acts 5:3-4? Acts 5:3-4. Okay. All right, first of all, the Father is called God. Let's hear 6:27.
Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for
which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on you.
Thank you. Now, the Son is called God. Hebrews 1:8, Janet. All right, now, Dancy, the Spirit is called God. Read that, please. 3-4. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. All right. So we've seen the Father is called God. We've seen that the Son is called God. And we've seen the Holy Spirit called God. You may remember many years ago, I had a couple guys that called Aaron and Amos, or somebody like that name up here. Aaron and somebody. Two A's. We had three candles. And I had this A Bennett, another A Bennett. I gave them each a candle. And I had one. Remember? We lit the three candles. We had to check with the men to be sure that I wasn't going to burn the building down. So we had the three candles. And then we got three candles burning. And we took all three of those candles and we brought them together. No, that's the Godhead. All right. Says, whereas, I want one other statement I'll read behind what we just did. Whereas there's but one God, or divine essence, that this one divine nature is equally shared by these three persons. Okay? All right. Thank you for your help on that. Let's see what's next on my list here, threes. All right. How many kings were there in the United Kingdom? Three. The United Kingdom, right? Okay. You remember Saul and David and Solomon. Now, this is a little associated study point, how did these three kings come into being? Did they say, give us a king, we want to be like the nations around about us? Now, by the way, what did they ask for first before they asked for a king? You remember that? Huh? They asked for a captain. That's what they asked for. Let's, Mark, I think I've got you down there for these two verses, Numbers 14:4 and Hebrews 2:10. Go ahead, Mark. All right, did you get Hebrews 2:10? I'll wait. Now, they already had one. He said he read in Numbers 14, they asked for a captain, and now Mark is going to read in Hebrews 2:10, they already had one. Go ahead, Mark. Oh, that's okay. Take your time. All right. They already had a king, didn't they? Okay. They already had a captain. They already had a king. So, the Lord, well, let me ask you this. Did God want them to have a king? Then no. He didn't want that. Because he knew he was their captain and their king. Okay. But they asked first for the captain, then they asked for the king. And he said, and basically he said, okay, you're free moral agents. Hosea 13:11. I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. Okay? That's a good verse to have written down somewhere. 13:11. Hosea 13:11. I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. How did each of these three kings end up? Hadn't the Lord just take them away in wrath? Their ending was pretty pitiful, wasn't it? In all three cases. Yes, it was. All right. That's an important point of study. Anyway, another verse. They already had the king. I don't think I mentioned this verse. Revelation 17:14. If you look up Revelation 17:14, when they ask for the king, Mark read that he already had a captain. Now, the fact that they already had a king is in Revelation 17:14, which says what? Lord of Lord and King of Kings. All right. They already had the king, and they already had the Lord. All right, now, let's go to another three. God has allowed us to be associated with three senses. One is common sense. It's horse sense. You know, you've heard the old folks say horse sense. We had one preacher over there at Lake Drive years ago, Al Furline. Great preacher, great guy. He came back. He was a two-term preacher there. Anyway, he was raised in Tennessee on a farm. And he said, well, you got common sense is horse sense, or you could call it stable thinking. That's the way he called it, stable thinking. So we got not common sense, and we've got God's sense, number two, right? The common sense, we got God's sense, and if you don't pay attention to both of those, we have nonsense. Isn't that true? We listen to our common sense and God's sense. That'll get us through a lot of things in this life. All right, now, let me give you, this is somewhat on the side, but it's got a scripture that's kind of obscure. And it's my dad's three measures. He didn't talk much about his, I had to drag stuff out of him. He didn't want to talk. He was in the war and such bad memories that he didn't want to go through that. And so I'd get a piece of information every now and then. And I asked him, well, what do you do in these terrible storms? I mean, really, really, really bad storms. He said, well, first thing you do, slow down. You got a heading. You got a place you try to go to. Because you maintain your heading, you just slow down. Because the front of the ship is starting to show damage. Make of a steel ship, you know, but water weighs over 7.5 pounds a gallon, and you've got millions of gallons coming in one wave. So you slow down. That doesn't work. The ship's still starting to show signs of damage on the bow. You turn it 45 degrees to the waves. That's the most stable way. Try to maintain your heading to some degree and take the waves that are 45. That's the most nautically correct way to hit a wave. Now, if that doesn't work, and you see more damage, we think of steel ships. But the water. A man told me about in World War II, they were in a violent storm. And they had one of these mega waves. They have a name for it. It was a heavy storm, but this extra huge wave and a destroyer. Here comes the wave. Destroyer was caught like this and never came back up. That's the sea. Now, if turning to 45 doesn't work, you've had number one, number two. What is number three? Number three is you just pull the throttles back and you let it go. He said, you let her go. and hope that it will ride the storm out. Same thing you and I read about. Let's turn to Acts 27:15. 27:15. And we're on that in that horrible storm that Paul was in there. 14 days, you and I studied about this years ago in some detail. And he was in this horrible storm for 14 days. And the captain is trying all kinds of things. But if you look at Acts 27:15, Steph, you want to read that? Let her drive. You got that? Remember when you read that. That's exactly what he's talking about. That's what that captain did. He let her drive. That means he had to let it go. We think of wooden vessels, but these ships, God's fierceness and waves make any captain pay attention. Okay. Now my dad was always on when you have a bad storm, the captain is always on the bridge. He's there every minute. They had left their John boat. In good weather, you put that, in those days, the deck wasn't very big. And that the boat, the what we call the lifeboat, it took up a lot of room. So in good weather, they would put that overboard, tied on the ship, to give them some working room on the deck. So the storm caught them with that lifeboat in tow. So getting that thing up in a storm, you can imagine what that would have been like. And they had, with great work to get that right. Because you see, it's like a sea anchor. When it's tied to you, and they didn't want to cut it and let it go because they might need it for survival. So they had a tremendous battle to get that, what we call a lifeboat. A lot of times they call it the ship's boat, depending on what you're reading. Now let's look at the three bears. Now, I'm not talking about Goldilocks, okay? I'm talking about the three bears. Spiritually, okay, we bear our burdens and we bear each other's burdens. Huh? I can tell you about that. I know a congregation in Pulaski that helped bear my burdens in a great way. And then we have to bear the marks of Jesus in our lives. And what's that mean? Well, Brother Hancock, or Janet Spencer, whichever one is going to read Luke 9:23 and 1 Timothy 6:12. Janet, go ahead. Have you got it? Did I give you the right ones? Did I give you Luke 9:23? Okay, whoever I gave Luke 9:23 to and 1 Timothy 6:12. Let's have Luke 9:23.
And he was saying to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Daily challenges, you see, that we're bearing the marks of Christ. All right, now, 1 Timothy 6:12. All right. Now you see, what these two Janets have read, two important verses. We're talking about daily challenges that Janet S. read and Janet H. read, bringing every thought into captivity. And isn't that a job? Every thought and have the mind of Christ we read about in Philippians chapter 2. Yeah. All right. Now, how about Glenn's going to read Philippians at one? I think Philippians 1:29. Go ahead, Glenn.
For you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer.
Okay, which one was that, Glenn? Okay. Did I give you 2 Corinthians 10:5? I didn't give you that. Stephanie, would you look that up for me? 2 Corinthians 10:5. And then, Nancy, how about looking up Romans 8:18? Okay? Romans 8:18. All right, whenever you get your other reading there, Glenn, go ahead. I mean, Stephanie, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Okay, you see, that's another verse on bring it into. Now, we have to put up with it. Before Nancy reads the reward, we have to put up with these bearers. We have to bear every day the marks of Jesus. I want to try to get that across because that's what you and I do. All right. Now, okay, Nancy. All right, you see, that's what we get. All right, now the resurrection of Jesus. How many days was he in the tomb? 3 days. All right, rose on the third day, and prophecies fulfilled there. Matthew 27:63-64. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times, right? Now, how many times did Jesus require of him to say, I love you? Three times, right? Okay. That's a good lesson for us. All right, now, easy one for you. How about Jonah and the whale? How many days? Saul without food or water? 3 days. How long can we go without water? 3 days. And by the way, time's almost up. What caused Jonah to be in the belly of a whale? What brought it on? Disobedience. What brought the big storm on? Disobedience. We need to always remember when we read that script, that transcript, that information, that story. Clarence Lavin, I never liked me use the word story. It's an inspired, I know it's inspired, but it's still a story. Jonah went to Joppa. And I had a lesson here many years ago about how you're handling your Joppa. Okay? Two of God's people went to Joppa. Peter and Jonah. One handled that right, one handled it wrong, right? Okay. Thank you for your attention.